Grace to you and peace from God, who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. What will come as a surprise, or excuse me, will come as no surprise to many of you, I really like going to Walt Disney World. I don't really know why. I don't have any rational kind of explanation. I simply very much enjoy going to all four of the parks there. And with my recent health issues, I would oftentimes think of Walt Disney World while I was receiving treatments or undergoing procedures. As example, when I got my bone marrow biopsy, I lay there on a metal table, and I willed myself to be at Epcot, which is the favorite of the four parks of mine. I imagined myself pulling into the parking lot, parking the car, getting out, walking along the monorail as I headed up toward the security, going through the security entrance, going through the entrance gates, using my magic band to get in. Imagined myself passing Spaceship Earth and feeling the spray of the fountain that's there by Mouse Gear, the store. And then walking down the long promenade to get to the lake, willing myself to be at Disney was how I endured having a very large needle bore into my pelvis, as well as while I was undergoing cardiac rehab and even receiving chemo treatments. Now, if you want to know about Walt Disney World, or even Walt Disney, the man himself, or some of the history about the building of Disneyland and Disney World, I will gladly and willingly share with you all of the knowledge that I have, probably to the point of which you will wish you hadn't asked in the first place. I've read several books about the subject. I've gone on many backstage tours. I listen to at least three different Disney-related podcasts a week. If you've ever seen my car, you'll know I have two magnets on there. One is for Nwakwa, the other is for Disney, and even my license plate is a subtle tribute to Disney. 1971 WDW, 1971 is the year that Disney World opened. Yeah, I have a problem. Walt Disney, to me, has been something to hold on to. It's been like a rock in my life. And like so many things in our lives, when something is important to us, when something means a great deal to us, we want to tell other people all about it. Which then brings to my mind, why am I willing to talk with my oncologist about Walt Disney World? Why am I willing to discuss at great length with complete strangers my love and enjoyment of Walt Disney World, yet I am often hesitant, especially when I'm not wearing the uniform, of telling others about my love of God? Why am I hesitant to talk about the graciousness of Christ? And so what does it mean, then, to be a rock? The world in which we live is changing all of the time, but that's true not only of the 21st century, but any time human beings have been in existence. The world today is changing as much as it was in the first century Palestine. It's just the different things that are changing. In first century Palestine, they had to deal with both Greek and Roman culture breaking into their everyday Middle Eastern life. They had to deal with both the religious and secular communities telling them what to eat, where to pray, how to pray, with whom they could and could not hang out. And then Jesus comes along to this community of faith, these folks that have been taught for so long, and tells them that so much of what they have learned, so much of what they know, can be forgotten, can be ignored. And because they're being pulled in so many different directions by all of these different influences, Jesus' followers really need something solid to hold on to. You know, I've heard people talk about how, especially like going through a time of tragedy, how somebody else has been a real rock to them. Or sometimes they're just talking about someone who's a rock throughout their entire life. And in our lesson today, Jesus refers to Peter as a rock. Now, there, in the Greek, there's some really fun wordplay going on there, but since I'm guessing most of you probably don't know Greek, and it takes really long time to explain it, what I'd really rather have you do is go learn New Testament Greek and read the passage on your own, and then you can have a good laugh. Jesus does not mean that Peter is literally stone. Rather, I think that Jesus recognized the depth and sincerity of Peter's faith. Jesus meant that Peter was one who was solid in his faith, in his belief, in his understanding not only of God, but of life in general. And so Jesus is proclaiming Peter's faith to the other disciples. One of the things we need to remember about Peter, though, he wasn't always that solid in his belief. You remember just a couple of weeks ago, we heard Pastor Jen's great sermon about Jesus and Peter out on the lake, and Peter sees Jesus walking, and he's all gung-ho and jumps over the side of the boat, and he's walking along until he starts to falter, and as soon as he starts to falter into the water, he goes. Or what about that story of that late Thursday night, early Friday morning when Peter is there at the high priest's palace, and he's sitting out in the courtyard with a whole bunch of other people, and the other people are looking at him going, wait a minute, you're one of those Galileans. You're one of the followers of that Jesus guy, aren't you? And Peter's going, oh, no, not me. You got the wrong guy. I don't know him. Yet just hours before that, in the upper room with the other disciples, Peter's all, Jesus, I will never betray you. And in Acts, in the book of Acts, Peter gets this amazing vision of that all food is now acceptable to believers to eat, every kind of food. And therefore, because all food is acceptable, it is by extension acceptable for the Jewish believers, to those who are circumcised, to eat not only the food, but to eat with the people who themselves are not circumcised. And yet just a couple of chapters after that, Peter very specifically takes himself away from a setting where he was eating with people who were not circumcised, because he starts to think, oh no, I shouldn't be eating with those kind of people. Peter messed up several times. And at least one of them was in a major big way. Have you ever messed up in your faith? I have. What does it mean to be a rock? Does it mean that our faith is supposed to be unwavering? Does it mean that our faith is supposed to be unmoving, that our faith never changes? And if that's the case, can any of us be a rock? A friend of mine recently went to Walt Disney World for the very first time in his life. He's 50 years old. I felt so very sorry for him. Glad that he went, though. But he came back and he said to me, why do you like going to Disney so much? Are they always adding new things? And I had to answer him, well, I can't really tell you why I like going so much. But yes, Walt Disney World is constantly adding and changing. As a matter of fact, Walt Disney vision for the parks was that they would never be finished, but constantly growing and changing. And that's what I believe faith is about. Changing. Growing. You know, we often think of rocks as these great, immovable objects. Here's the thing, though. Rocks change. You take a boulder and break it apart, we get gravel. You break down gravel some more, we get dirt. Dirt becomes soil. Soil gets compressed together over time, and if there's enough pressure, that soil then will itself eventually become, once again, rock. Now, hopefully, everybody here today has faith. Each of us can have a strong, solid, deep faith, a faith that is alive, that is changing and growing, a faith that can be built up and a faith that can be torn down. To all of us who confess the way that Peter did, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, to all of us, God then says, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And by that, I believe that Jesus means that on that rock, and that rock, and the rock back there, and the rock over there, and the rock over there, and over there, and by all of these rocks gathered together in this room, when we come together, when we stand together, when we work together, together we form a firm foundation of faith. And together we proclaim God's strength and grace and forgiveness throughout not just Walt Disney World, but together we proclaim throughout the entire world.